So, just on the overnight shows, once a month, we will be joined by Vanessa Clark, who is a technology expert, quite esteemed. And she will be joining us on the line to discuss some of the latest developments in the world of technology. For this week's feature, we have three topics that we're going to unpack for you. And we start off with a new feature that Facebook will be introducing when you are interacting with fake news articles, because you know how annoying those can be, especially when you want to help somebody out with some information and you end up with egg on your face. So all the more reason to have this feature. So I do actually have Vanessa on the line right now. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Paul. How are you today?
Good, and yourself?
I'm very well, thank you.
And thank you again for joining us. We loved having you the last time, and I know you're going to shed some light on what Facebook is doing. So before we get right into that, I'd like to just ask you, how would you define fake news?
So that is a really good question. That's half the problem. I mean, it's so kind of twisty and murky, and fake news very cleverly resembles real news, which is why it works. So it's kind of like, is it only when you know it, when you can see it? There are a couple of things that you can look out for, and a lot of the clues are actually about where the news is. So if it's on a website that isn't, you know, one of the main news websites, you should probably be a little bit cautious. If it's not being picked up somewhere else, you should be a little bit cautious. And another tip I read recently was, if it makes you really, really angry, or you really, really have a strong reaction to the news, just check it in a few places before you share it. But you're absolutely right. The definition of fake news is quite tricky.
Yes, no, and you are right as well. I mean, touching on what you just said right now, when you said if it makes you angry, if it just stirs some sort of emotion in you, because look, I've come across quite a couple on my Facebook feed, and I've shared a couple, and luckily with people who are aware of such credible sources, and they've actually just said, no, sorry, this is fake news. And that's how they get away with it, isn't it? Like, I mean, that's just exactly, they just need to hit us you know, emotively, and we're in hook, line and sinker. We're just wrapped up in that. So I know that even right now, Facebook, they've taken on quite this mammoth task right now of monitoring and policing the plethora of fake news, because it's in abundance. How do they do so? And what do you think their motivation is or was for waging this war against fake news?
So I think there was a bit of a wake-up call towards the end of last year when, just towards the end of the US elections, there were more stories being shared that were fake about those elections than were real. So, you know, they were lies. It wasn't true, yet they were the ones being shared. So we need to be a little bit careful about what Facebook can do and what it's willing to do, because they're having a little bit of an identity crisis. Are they a technology company, or are they a media company? Are they something in between? And what is their role here? So one thing that I really like that they've rolled out elsewhere, I haven't seen it in South Africa yet, but I'm keeping an eye out for it, is if you accidentally or on purpose post fake, want to share fake news on your newsfeed, it will give you this warning saying this is fake news, and some more information about here are some verifiable sources and here are some partners that we work with that can give you more information about this. And are you really, really sure you want to share it? And it asks you about twice, and it doesn't actually stop you sharing the news, which we can talk a little bit more about that decision. But what it does do, it will, the post will appear with a big warning sign. So, you know, you and me, when we're looking at our newsfeed and we see our friend post this thing and we get really excited about it, there's going to be that little warning that this is probably or almost definitely fake.
And, you know, I think those warning labels do help. If only those warning labels could also translate or be used when it comes to people's posts so as to avoid any social media conflict, that would also be great as well. But I guess that's another topic for another show.
Yeah.
You know, it would be ideal, really, really. And then, you know, and just in regards to their responsibility, I mean, I love what you said when you talked about them having an identity crisis. So when it comes to, and just touching on that, when it comes to the amount of responsibility, so how are they actually responsible for allowing fake news to circulate so freely in the first place? I mean, why did they allow unauthorized media publications to just randomly just spew fake news, you know, at the expense of the reader who may probably think it's true, you know?
Well, Facebook is all about engagement. It's about sharing, and it's about us spending time on Facebook and us sharing our details. I mean, we're the product here, right? As soon as you're not paying for something, you've got to realize that you're the product. And the fake news just feeds so beautifully into that. It gets shared more than, you know, in some cases more than real news. The engagement rates are high. It goes viral. So this is a challenge for Facebook because they, you know, that's what they built around. They built around engagement and the ad revenue that gets generated by engagement. So yeah, it's a fine line that they've got to walk here.
No, absolutely. And I think it's probably one of those things. It has to be a trial and error thing, which is probably why they've only rolled it out in certain countries. And I understand it has yet to be tested in South Africa. So I'd love to see the day when that happens. So we'll see what happens then. And just so that we can, we have quite a few technological advancements to discuss. So I'd love to move on to the next one. But before I do, if you've just joined us, you are listening to 567 Cape Talk. And I am chatting with Vanessa Clark, technology expert and journalist. So this one just really, really caught my eye. I found this very intriguing. And also, I mean, for a lot of the men who are listening, they'll be very pleased to hear this. We have a phone device which tests male fertility with 98% accuracy. So yes, listeners, I kid you not. You heard me correctly. So it's a smartphone attachment that can evaluate a man's semen and determine his level of fertility with up to 98% accuracy. So Vanessa, if you could, can you please walk us through what this device actually is and what it does, how it works? And we know you're not a doctor, but from a technological perspective, can you walk us through that?
Sure. I mean, isn't this just an amazing example of how much computing power we're walking around with in our pockets? I mean, with our smartphone, it used to, there's a comparison that, you know, not that many decades ago, the computing power of our smartphone would have filled a whole building. So it's just incredible. So there are kind of three pieces to this technology. There's the app that runs on your phone, and the app's got some clever algorithms, which are small little computer programs that do clever things. Then there's also an attachment that your phone sits on, and it kind of makes a bit of a brick shape. And the amazing thing is that with the trials that have been done by the hospitals in the U.S. where this was invented, they printed the attachment for $5, so like 70 rand, under 100 rand. They printed it on a 3D printer. And then the third part is the little sample slide. You know, like when you're watching CSI and the scientist is looking at something under a microscope and the little sample is between two little pieces of see-through plastic.
Oh, yes, got you.
It's that sort of thing.
Yes.
So now I'm not going to go into the details of how you get the sample in the first place. I think that's fairly self-evident.
Yes, absolutely.
Once you've got the sample, it goes onto this little slide and then goes into the little box that your phone is sitting on. And it's all lined up to match up with the camera on your phone. And there's some additional lenses. And then the app actually uses the video technology. And within 5 seconds, apparently, which is astonishing, within 5 seconds, it can do a bunch of measurements. And it measures two things. It measures the volume of sperm and the mobility of the sperm, which are two of the three main indicators for fertility levels. And it can give you a result. And as you say, so far, the tests have been with a small group, but so far with 98% accuracy.
That is amazing. So, I mean, they've actually taken all aspects of fertility testing for men into consideration. That's astounding. And I also just, I mean, for men who are actually, I mean, look, it's a very sore issue for a lot of men. For those who are infertile, having to actually go to a fertility clinic and having that tested. So this is actually perfect for that instance.
Absolutely. It's kind of, it's that first step where somebody might be, you know, for whatever reason, hesitant to go to the doctor, they can do the first step themselves. And another application would be for clinics in remote areas and where there's few doctors or in underserved areas. If they had this technology, they would be able to help. They would be able to help people. So yeah, it's bringing the medical technology, and you don't need to be trained to do it. It's apparently very, very easy to do. And then another, the flip side of it is for men who've had vasectomies, they can check that their vasectomies are working. So they kind of want to fail the test, and then they're happy their vasectomy is working and they can proceed.
Oh my goodness. So actually they will, I think on some level, men will actually more or less understand what it's like for a woman to take a pregnancy test, that emotional roller coaster. So that, I find that quite intriguing. And also the fact that, just in regards to that process, so it does place more emphasis on men's role in infertility testing. So it's not just about the woman having to undergo a certain process.
Right. And I mean, typically sort of fertility issues and control of fertility and responsibility for fertility sat very much with the woman, and now that's been shared a little bit more equally, which is good.
That's fantastic. I love how technology is just making strides in this. This is brilliant. And I don't know, will this actually be available to the market soon, to the South African market, or will it take a while?
So I expect it will take a while. It's still doing FDA approval in the US, and you know, understandably, with medical technology, this is not something that you easily or quickly release to the market. But the fact is that it's kind of in testing and it's working. So yeah, watch the space.
Yes, definitely. I will. I will definitely watch that. That is incredible technological advancements happening there. And now we have to just, I need to move on to the last topic as part of our technological feature. So this is an incredible one. This is one that definitely caught my eye. I think this is amazing. I mean, how many times have you been in a foreign country and you have no idea how to speak a language or even the different dialects within that province of that country? So now the My Manu Click, which is a Manchester-based audio company, they've actually just launched a new set of earphones. Please tell us about that.
Yeah, these look very cool. I mean, for the science fiction fans out there, it's a little bit like The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, The Babelfish, or in Doctor Who, when the TARDIS means you can understand everybody. The company originally is around speakers and music. So the earbuds themselves are pretty cool. They say they've solved a lot of problems around Bluetooth connectivity. They look okay. They don't look as peculiar as some of those wireless earbuds that you see people using. So I quite like that. There's cool colors. Apparently, I haven't experienced them, but apparently, you know, the sound is good. And there's some functionality. You can get notifications from your phone in your ear and things like that.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. So, but now the cool thing is that they say they're going to launch in the next month. They're running a Kickstarter at the moment where they're crowdsourcing money for the development. An app with these earbuds that can translate 37 languages in real time, which is really cool. It's not as simple as you pop in the earbuds and you walk around and you can understand people. You've either each got to have the earbuds, or at least one person has the earbuds and you have the app on your phone and the other person has the app on their phone. But if it's real-time translation and if it can break down barriers between, you know, miscommunication, and you can imagine the applications from business to traveling to medical, to education. It's really exciting. And it's something that we haven't seen come out from Google and Apple. And, you know, these guys are working on this. But so far, for some reason, translation hasn't been cracked yet.
That's the thing. And I think, you know, there's this more of a natural, when something of this nature does come out, there's more of a just a natural step to actually maybe have just more westernized, maybe like westernized languages as opposed to encompassing, you know, 37. So, I mean, it's pretty much just across the board, not even just any Eurocentric languages. We can find maybe African languages on there too. And it's great because this can really have some great implications for traveling within the African continent. And like you were saying, I mean, it just opens like the channels of communication, and also just even just being a tourist yourself and just being in a foreign country, it can be an intimidating experience. But with these, this actually reduces that, and you're able to actually, you know, engage in conversation, and it just breaks down those communication barriers. So it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so also in regards to this, do you know exactly, so you said that it will come out soon. Is that just exclusive to the UK or to Europe, or will that also be in South Africa as well?
So it's available on their Kickstarter site, and they say they're going to be shipping from May 2017. I didn't actually check if they are shipping worldwide. Very often with Kickstarters, it is possible to get it available worldwide. So, you know, that's something if people are really interested, they can go and check that out.
Yes, that's the thing. I mean, I was definitely intrigued when I actually was on the website as well. And like you were saying, just aesthetically, it's functional. And one feature that really did excite me, the case that it comes in. I had an opportunity to view that. Please tell us about its dual purpose. I think this is really cool.
I do too. I really like that. So it's this cool little case that you could save your earbuds in when you're not using them, which is handy, so you don't end up losing them. But it also charges them at the same time, and it can be used to charge your cell phone as well. So, you know, for all of us who every day are running out of cell phone charge and, you know, need to quickly charge our phones, it looks pretty nifty.
That's the thing, it does. It's nifty, it's compact, and look, when you have that and you forget your power bank at home, I'd say that definitely does come in handy, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no, actually, I would love to get a set of those. You know, hopefully it'll be budget friendly enough. But, you know, if not, then it could definitely be an investment in one's future, especially when you are traveling or just, yes, traveling on business. It is just absolutely functional. But on that note, I would actually just love to close that off. Vanessa, thank you so much. Thank you for your insight on all these technological advances. And we hope to hear more from you soon. So how can our listeners get in touch with you?
They can find me online, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or my website is seedlab.co.za.
Perfect. I think people will definitely be in touch with you soon. That was very informative. Thank you, Vanessa. Hope you have the rest of a good Sunday.